Hi everyone, welcome to the podcast Bridging Psychology and Spirituality. What I'd like to share today really is having a look at stress. And one of the reasons I thought about this is because we're only a few weeks away from the Christmas holidays. So the holidays are usually, whatever country you live in, if you celebrate Christmas or any other holiday at this time of the year, we know that getting together with family, going out and buying gifts and organizing all of the extra things that we have going on can actually increase the level of stress that we feel. So even though we might be really looking forward to some of the things that are coming up, we can feel that it's a lot more things that we have on top of our day-to-day routine, whatever that routine is, whether you're at home looking after the children, you go to work, you're out on the road, you're a courier, you're a nurse, you know, have a really stressful job, look after little children, a CEO in a business. The key point with stress is understanding what it is and also our perception of it. So in this podcast, what I'd like to share is having an exploration into what is stress and some of the things that happen when we're stressed and some of the tricks that you can use to help you when you are going through more demanding times. So what is stress? So stress is the body's way of responding to any kind of demand or threat. So basically, as a human being, our brain's job is to manage all of the information that we're bombarded with. So it also has to keep you safe as a human to keep our evolution going. So it does that by picking up all of the information that exists in the environment and then filtering through that information and working out whether or not there is any kind of demand or threat. So if there's demand or threat and we sense danger, the brain will, in a millisecond, provoke the different physiological responses to start to act in a way so that you can get out of that danger. So when you sense danger, whether it's real or imagined, the body's defenses kick into high gear in a rapid automatic process known as fight or flight. So that's what we know as the stress response. So the stress response is a way of the body protecting you when it's working properly. It can help you stay focused, energetic and alert. In emergency situations, stress can actually save your life, give you extra strength to defend yourself. For example, spurring you to slam the brakes on to avoid a car accident. Stress can also help you meet the challenges day to day. And it's what keeps you on your toes when you're doing either, say, like a presentation at work, sharpens your concentration when you're attempting, say, playing any kind of game, football, basketball, you know, name your game, and helps you drive and focus if you're, say, studying for an exam. When you'd rather be watching the TV, so stress can be the sort of mild stimulator, but after a certain point, stress stops being helpful and starts causing damage to the body, impacts your mind, your mood, relationships, and your quality of life. And for some people, it can actually move them into a state of feeling frazzled and overwhelmed. And I will be doing a separate podcast on overwhelm, stress, and burnout at some stage, because it's certainly something I've experienced a couple of times in my life. So understanding stress is one thing, but understanding how you experience stress is what is key, and the kind of things that help you move through that stressful period. So there are lots of different things that can cause us to feel stress, and everyone has a slightly different way of perceiving the same thing that might come up for them. So some of the big ones that we know about are, you know, if you're going to lose your job, if there's a massive change, if you're moving house, if somebody's getting married in the family, there's any parties coming up, you are about to give birth or you have just given birth, you've had some issues in your relationship. Some of the bigger issues of stress are when we look at relationships that are very toxic, for example, in domestic abuse or people who live with narcissistic partners, or any real concerns around psychopathology. So I won't be covering those in this podcast. However, any kind of stress will have an impact on your fight and flight system. So for some people who've grown up in families where stress, any kind of alcohol, drug abuse, mental health issues within the family, fighting, arguing, or growing up in a family where, say, there's lots of children and, you know, you're always fighting to get space, get heard, play the game, and be involved, can all create different levels of stress. Some people thrive on stress and other people are more predisposed to having a negative experience of that. So the fundamental aspects of how that affects you on a physiological level may be the same, but whether you're aware of that and when you become aware of that is the key. So knowing yourself and who you are and what you're like when you're in a calmer, happier state, joyful state, and then when you move into stress, so that you can prevent really any long-term issues. If you've got a presentation and talks coming up and you're teaching a group of people, you've just stepped up into a new job, then of course you're going to experience that and it's helpful, but again, it's how do you perceive that. So over time the nervous system can be quite taxed between distinguishing what is an emotional and what is a physical threat. And again, depending on your circumstances, you can be super stressed after an argument with a friend, a work deadline, a mountain of bills, and your body can just react as strongly as if you're facing a true life or death situation. And I certainly saw that when I was working with young people in schools, those that were growing up in families where there was a lot of domestic abuse, their stress mechanism was constantly firing off. And teachers didn't understand that when that child made their way into school, that a certain look, behaviour or attitude towards them can trigger the stress response in that child. And depending on who's helping them to manage those emotions and that stress response and help them work through that will make all the difference as to whether or not they will also develop some resilience and some coping mechanisms to move through that. It's also about, like with any kind of panic or other mental health issues, it's also about making sense of things, making sense of the world and finding some way through that. If you feel out of control and you haven't got any mechanisms in which to cope with what's going on, then that's when you can feel when things are piling up and it's very difficult to get out. If you're at that stage, please do contact any helpline and talk to somebody. It doesn't matter whether you've talked to that person or not before. Just take the leap and share what's going on. It really can make a huge difference just to talk through what you're experiencing. Not everybody needs to go and see a therapist all the time. Sometimes going to see a therapist every week means, you know, you start to take sometimes less responsibility for some of the activities that you can do that can help you. Therapy is one aspect, coaching is one aspect, but there's a whole range of other things that we can deploy that helps us when we're going through that. So just to go back to what it can feel like and the impact of stress, of course, we know if you tend to get stressed out frequently, like many of us do in today's world, we're bombarded with loads of information. And going back to the role of the brain, the brain's job is to filter that out. So we all have what are called psychological filters, and we will filter out information at a rapid speed. Unless you're in an emergency where you really do need to fight or flight, then understanding how your brain is processing that information and what filters you're using is it goes a big way in you understanding yourself and your own personal development. Stress can, though, lead to serious health problems. So if you are getting stressed on a day-to-day basis, some people can thrive on that, but long term, it really does make an impact to your whole system. It can disrupt every system in the body, suppress your immune system. And we know in research now, we see that it affects digestive and reproductive systems, increases your risk of heart attack, stroke, speeds up the aging process. So if you just want a lot younger, manage and get on top of your own stress response system. It can also over time rewire the brain. So watching people like Andrew Huberman on YouTube, it's great because he really goes into the impact of things on the brain on a much deeper level. and will leave you more vulnerable to anxiety, depression, and any other mental health problems. What we found in the mental health field is that before somebody's diagnosed with any kind of mental health condition, is that they've experienced stress for quite a while before that. And like I said, sometimes we know what it is that's stressing us out, and other times we don't. So we can experience a range of health problems caused by stress, depression, anxiety, pain in the body, sleep problems, issues with our autoimmune system, digestive, skin conditions, weight problems, reproductive. So some of the signs and symptoms of stress overload can be one of the key concerns is that you don't notice actually how much it's affecting you. Hence why I've ended up with chronic fatigue a couple of times. Because in psychology, and they used to talk about type A personalities that just work and work and work. And even if your system is packing up, you still work and work, rarely take time off sick, don't rest enough, don't give you time, yourself that time to relax and have down days. So that when you do, you're so tired on those days that it takes time to recoup. Often that's why people find themselves getting ill just before holidays, school holidays, especially teachers. I worked in schools for about 10 years on and off. And a lot of teachers, just before our UK 6 weeks holidays in the summer, they would start to feel quite ill. But some of the ways it can affect you is memory problems, inability to concentrate, poor judgment, seeing only the negative, anxious or racing thoughts, and constant worrying. So it certainly affects my memory. When I start to get stressed, I really do struggle to concentrate. Anyway, I've got a level of dyslexia, so concentrating on reading reports for my day-to-day job gets even worse when I'm getting stressed. So it's almost like the harder you push yourself, the harder it is to actually get any results. But you can also feel some emotional symptoms, depression, crying, anxiety and agitation. Now, on a very simple level, I didn't realise for quite a while that when I felt agitation or irritable, that was actually underlying stress that was starting to form. It was like the early warning sign. And it would precede starting to feel overwhelmed. Often when people are stressed, get depressed or anxious, they start cutting themselves off from friends, family, and start to experience a sense of loneliness and isolation. And again, that's it's not a great thing to do if you're experiencing depression. So not necessarily hang out with people who complain and moan and they're equally stressed. That's not the best thing to do. Unless you've got a friend that you're equally, you know, quite trying to support, then you can peer support each other. But you really want to be doing things and getting out that are fun. And sometimes it is really difficult to drag yourself out of bed when you're feeling really lacking in motivation. But seriously, if you can make some of that effort to get out, have fun, whether that involves money or not, you know, things that make you laugh, comedy shows, that can start to just unstick you. I think people can get quite stuck in those states. And that's what we often see when people end up in therapy, is they've been going around this cycle for a long time. So the physical symptoms can be aches and pains, diarrhea, constipation, nausea, dizziness, loss of sex drive, colds and flu. So it can affect our behaviour. Some people will eat more or less. So you get emotional eating, sleep too much or too little, withdraw from others, procrastinate. I certainly procrastinate way more, or use alcohol, cigarettes and drugs to relax. So the causes of stress sometimes are not easy to pinpoint. Sometimes we think we're stressed to do with work, but it can be when we're thinking about mental health and our needs as human beings. Sometimes it's because we're starting to neglect our needs. Therefore, we're not in loving relationships and having fun with friends and getting out and having space and resting. And we then only focus on only the things that we need to work on. And those are the things that are stressful. So as the lovely Abraham Hicks says, is if you get into a state where everything looks negative and difficult, you've got to find one thing that isn't. You've got to find one thing that works for you, that feels good. sometimes if you're really stressed, you've just got to sleep. I remember going to talks years ago and I was so stressed and overwhelmed. It really surprised me. I started to sleep like at talks. I'd never done that before. That was when I realized that there was something serious starting to go on. Sometimes we think of stresses as being negative, such as exhausting work, and in particular, rocky relationships. Rocky relationships do really place so much more of a demand on us, and we don't realise how stressful that is. The other thing that is much less talked about is if the things that are going on in the house and you procrastinate, you know, I had a water leak, got over a year ago, and it took me ages to get round to fixing the damage that had been done and then painting over that. But every day when I got up, it annoyed me on a very low level. It irritated me. But I put all my energy and focus into other things. But I realized that when I got round to actually painting that wall, it didn't bother me anymore. And it was like a low level stress. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the end of the world. However, the environment, especially as I was working from home, mattered way more than I realized. So now I try and get on and sort out jobs and get things sorted when I can. If it costs money, I try and put that money to one side slowly over time so I can get that done. So where you live, the environment, the people that you hang out with, the work that you do are all important factors. So sometimes it is difficult to work out where that stress is coming from. Also, our perception of what is stressful may differ from what other people think is stressful. So if you've got friends and you're sharing things, sometimes they don't realise the impact that that's having on you and why that is. If you come from a family or where there's been depression and negativity and a sort of dismissive and negative global way of looking at the world, then you may have inherited some of those features and equally look at the world through a negative lens. So it may well be that you get more stressed and see things in more global, generalized, difficult ways than maybe friends and people around you. And if that's the case, sometimes that's where coaching and therapy can help, because the way that we think, our attitude and our perceptions of things really do make a difference. Of course, there are external stress factors that are happening that we are going to get stressed about. If you're losing a job, your relationship's just breaking up, of course that's stressful. But you've got to get down to the nitty-gritty of what are the kind of things that you can do so that you can get through that period and not be as impacted as you could have been in past situations. That's why I like doing the podcast. I want to share some of the things that I've done, because I've made mistakes in the past. I could have learned things quicker and got through some situations much more easily. But hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? So we've talked about the kind of things that can impact you on an external level, but some of the things that are actually happening on the inside that can create stress. As I was saying, a pessimistic, negative outlook, inability to accept uncertainty. Well, I'm a Taurus and I'm not great with uncertainty. So I have to deploy a range of mind tools to help me when my old way of thinking and seeing the world kicks in. It's a lifelong practice, but it has got better. But it really depends on what's going on. And I can have my stress response activated quite easily at times. Rigid thinking and lack of flexibility can certainly be internal factors. So for a lot of people, say like in the spiritual world, one of the things I've seen is they decide to create a routine in the morning that involves getting up, maybe having a shower, doing some yoga, doing the same practice, and then doing some meditation. And they tell themselves that they need to do this practice every day, and that is it. It's what they should do. Or that's what being spiritual means. And that you need to sit there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 2 hours meditating. And yet there comes a time where, like in everything that we do, the body gets into a homeostasis, we get bored, we lack the motivation, and we might not want to do that. So sometimes you've got to mix it up, as they say, when you go to the gym, and do a different routine and retax the body. And the body kind of goes, oh, okay, something new is happening. And on a psychological level, we're sort of tricking the brain and body to thinking that there's something new and novel. So that can get us out of a stuck position. It makes us challenge this idea of what we think we need to do every day. So routine is important, but be wary of getting stuck in, you know, doing the same routine all the time. So that's some of the internal things that can be going on at the time. So in part two, I'm going to be looking more deeply at stress and what we can do to help us. Like anything that I talk about, I want to really get people to think about, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what it feels like when I'm stressed, not feeling great, depressed, in a low mood, whatever the thing is that you're feeling that doesn't feel too good, and move, start to help you move into a better space, in psychologically, emotionally, and physically. So, first of all, if you feel stressed, like I said, if you're in a crisis, sort out your crisis. You've got to move, you've got to take action, and you've got to use the chemicals that are coursing through your body in a productive way. So that can be, you know, if there's a fire, you've got to get out of the house, you've got to call the fire engines. If there's issues in the environment, it may be that you call the police, it may be that you get your kids out of the way, it may be that you go and stay with some family, whatever the emergency situation is. After the emergency, it's you need often someone to talk to about what's happened. So in the field, it's like defragging, really. But you do that in your own time. If it's a grief response and something, and somebody's died unexpectedly, then of course you've got to get all of the things in place that you need to do to sort through the funeral and all of the other things that sit around that, in however you and your family manage that. So I'm not talking about emergencies. You've got to react and use that stress response in your body for that emergency situation. But if you've experiencing some level of stress for a while, like I said, to do your job, anything that's going on in relationships, perceived or otherwise as a stressful event, some of the quick things that you can do, let's look at those. Stress relief habits, building your resources, and quick relievers. So first of all is finding some techniques that work for you that can be a stress reliever. So if, for example, like me, you start to feel stress, I'll get agitated and I lose some focus. One of the things I sometimes have to force myself to do is while I'm sat in the chair, I start to focus on my breath. So I either listen to one of the many beautiful tracks on YouTube that just is, you know, you listen to a piece of music and it just really gets you into a nice state. That is a nice step forward in captivating your attention. So it takes your attention off the thing that's stressing you out. Tell yourself initially, I'm just going to do it for 5 minutes. If you think you have to sit there breathing and meditating for 20 minutes, 30 minutes or an hour, you might not get around to it. And what you've got to do is teach your brain that, okay, I'm feeling stressed, but I can take myself back to a natural state. And it's something that you learn quite well when you learn, for example, neuro-linguistic programming, is state management, how you're in this state and you move to a more desired state. So you need to focus on calming your body and mind. So one of the quickest ways to do that is through breath work. So there's a range of different ways of learning about breath work. But fundamentally, to start with, you've just got to notice your breath. Take a breath in, not from your chest, but from your stomach, and watch your stomach rise and fall. And maybe even try that. Stop this recording and just start to notice your breath. Take your attention to your stomach and watch your stomach rise and fall. Then imagine that your diaphragm is starting to take in that air and release the air. Then you can imagine that you're taking in fresh, pure, beautiful mountain air, sea air, anywhere that you've been to that's a beautiful place, and then releasing any stress, any toxins, any issues. Your mind might jump around. It's what we call in the meditation field as monkey mind. You'll get all these different thoughts racing through your mind. So if you keep taking your attention to your breath, for some people, it can take a couple of minutes. For some, it takes five. For some, it takes 20. If you're not used to doing that, that's why you set yourself 5 minutes. Get in the practice of at least once an hour, sitting back in your chair, whatever the job is that you're doing, you know, pull over, park for 5 minutes, take a break. If you're teaching all day, I think the changeover is like every hour, then maybe at break time, lunchtime, and at the end of the day, 5 to 10 minutes of just focusing on your breath. That will start to train your body to respond and calm down. It gives your brain the message, this is what happens. I will start to feel calmer and more relaxed. Set yourself a mantra. I am starting to feel calmer and more relaxed. And I'm using the word starting to, because if you say I'm calm and relaxed and you're not feeling calm and relaxed, then that's really difficult. Your brain will go, no, you're not feeling calm and relaxed. You're feeling really stressed. So then create some stress relief habits. So if you tend to be stressed in the morning, say you've got the kids and they're running around and you're getting everything ready, develop some habits that you know are going to prevent stress or reduce stress, like getting everything ready the night before, getting the lunch boxes ready, making sure the car's got fuel in it, making sure that you leave on, you know, those sort of routines that can really help. And then some habits, and if you've got children, you can teach them as well. Stand still, tune into your body, take some deep breaths. Take at least 3 to 5 deep breaths, breathe in and breathe out. Then start to think about the perspective you have. That's harder to do in those 5 minute breaks, but it could be, okay, what are the thoughts that are influencing me right now? Is it negative thinking? I can't do that. I'm never going to make that deadline. I'm never going to get to school on time. Where's that money going to come from? All of that sort of negative thinking. Even if it's true, even if there isn't any money right now, even if you are struggling with certain things, just be aware of your perspective. It's not right or wrong. Just be aware. When you have got time, whether that's a Friday night or a Sunday morning, give yourself 10 minutes, half an hour if you can, where you start writing down some of the circular thinking that you have. Being aware and starting to realize how you think is a big step forward to the changes that you're going to see happen as a result of you starting to reduce your stress. Like I said, there are some things that happen to us that you're just going to feel stress and have a stress response to. But once you've started to deploy some techniques that can reduce your stress, you'll start to notice that you will get to that place much quicker, and you'll start to feel a sense of hope. And you may even start to find that some things just work themselves out. So it's about quick stress reliever, quick stress habits, new routines, monitoring your thoughts and your perspective, getting a journal out, writing them down, getting them onto paper can make a big thing, as well as some of the techniques that you're going to develop over time. And then build your resources. So these are the key things to start doing. The stress response can be triggered when you don't feel you've got enough resources to that challenge that you face. So sometimes you need help. So if you move in house, pull in your friends and give them a job to do, get them to pack boxes, get them to come round and help you, you know, anyone who loves cleaning, to help clean, share the load. If you've got a pool of friends that can help with childcare, where you all get one night a month where you get to go out and you can trust each other to look after each other's children and keep each other safe, make sure that you reduce things that are going to make you feel stressed and worried about the world, like the news, often switching that for longer periods of time. Watch what you scroll when you're on your newsfeed, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook. Watch what you expose yourself to and decide to expose yourself to things that lift up your mood, make you feel happier, and start monitoring when you do feel happy. Why do I feel happy? Why do I feel joy? Why do I feel just better? So that's part two. So you've understood what is stress, How does the body naturally react to that? What's happening when I feel stressed? And what can I do? What are some of the starting points? So for anyone who hasn't really thought about stress and what's happening to them, then this is the starting point of what you can actually start to deploy. Some of the longer term things to think about. So on that Sunday morning when you've got your journal, start thinking about what's coming up in the week. So what things are just going to come up? You're working. What are the things that you've got to approach in work? So, and what have you got to approach in home life and your personal relationships? So think about what's coming up that week. Have you put too many things in your week? Or have you not put enough fun things in your week? And fun can just mean playing a game with the kids, putting on one of the games on TV and doing that together, watching some comedy, cooking a dish together. Or it could be that you all have a movie, get some popcorn, chill out. We used to do that every Sunday, me and the kids, after a really busy week running out around everywhere. I used to love just closing the curtains and making it like a cinema hour for the afternoon. Long term, though, as we're starting to get ready for 2023, and I'm going to be doing a workshop at some stage about some of the longer term goals that you can set yourself so that you can start to increase positive well-being and improve your mental health. So I'm just going to touch on that now briefly, because I will do part two, which is how to think about the different things on a longer term that can increase your mental health and well-being. Do you set up a new exercise routine, going for walks, go swimming, kayaking, forest bathing, sound healing, yoga? Do you set up a go on a meetup group, follow a hobby, photography, you know, mountain climbing? What, and then notice how things like whatever the exercises that you do, even if you're doing star jumps in your living room, and every time you put the kettle on, you've got 3 minutes potentially to do some stretching. I do stretching while the kettle's on because I had a bad back and it hurt all the time. Every opportunity to just stretch and let the blood flow to those different parts of the body, I used to use, and I would do it at different times of the day so that I could keep flexible, especially if you're working from home, sat at a desk all day. Sitting down all day is actually really bad for the body. So in part two, I'll be looking more deeply at the kind of things that you can deploy, the type of exercises, how it helps, how you create a plan, and you start looking at your own 30-day plan. So I do that on a Sunday because that's just the way my brain thinks at the beginning of the week, the plan that I set out. So some of the things that you can do to start yourself right now is when you get to Sunday, get your journal out, write down what are the things that are stressing you out on the left-hand side of the page. On the right-hand side of the page, what is the one thing you can do for each of those things that will help reduce the stress? So it could be, like I've said, asking friends to help you on certain things, setting up some support, whether that's calling a helpline, getting counselling, getting coaching, starting to walk for 10 minutes a day if you've got a pet, taking the dog out for a walk, asking your partner to look after the kids so you can have a longer soak in the bath. So start thinking about the things that are stressing you out and then what you can do. If you're always running around trying to find all the kids' stuff, getting into a routine can seriously help. It really did help me because I was a little chaotic when the kids were younger, as well as trying to work full time and everything else that comes along with that. Then, so do your left hand and your right hand, put the date on that and set yourself a goal of for the next 30 days. I'm going to, on the next page, every Sunday, write one thing that I'm going to do in the week that's fun, one thing that lifts my spirit, one thing that helps me connect with people, one thing that increases positive mood, one thing that will help, say like it's rest, have a few more hours in bed, one thing that makes me laugh, one thing that any, so like that, start writing down and start thinking. And if you don't know, try and find one thing. Then as we Head towards, if you've got issues with confidence and low self-esteem, I want you to review, and if this is difficulty, get friends to help you. At the end of the day or at the end of the week, three things that you did that went well. Did you help someone make them smile? Did you help someone get their shopping for them? Did you do a presentation that you thought wasn't going to go well, but actually you did well at it? What have you done over the year? What have you done over the month that you didn't think you could do that you now do? Those are the kind of little quick wins sometimes that we do that helps our confidence. So as a starting point, think about what stress is, what it means to you, how it affects you. Spend some time thinking about that, but don't stay in stress for too long. And then think about some of the things that you already do that helps you with stress and some of the things that you can do that you're going to put into your week. Then when you get to the end of the first week and then the second week and the third week, so you get to your 30 days at the end of the month, at the end of each week, look at what you achieved that week, even if you only achieved. I set myself a goal a few years ago when I started doing yoga when my back was really bad, and thought, right, I'll do one class a week. Then I realized after the time that doing one class a week wasn't enough. So I did one external class a week and I would set myself a goal of 10 minutes of yoga every morning. I could do it in the mornings because I wasn't taking the kids to school anymore. Sometimes I'll do it at night. The yin yoga is great for the night. It stretches the body out. It releases stress and tension. Gets your body prepared for a really deep sleep. So doing, and actually sometimes it's not like I set up a separate room and put a mat out. I've got the TV on in the background or I'm listening to a spiritual talk and I'll start to do some stretches. And I normally do 3 to 5 stretches. So I'll set myself that goal. So if I've done that goal of 3 stretches on a Sunday, I'm really pleased with myself that I've met that goal. Then I might increase that or I might change that and shake that up. But this is your starting point. So thank you for listening. Let me know how you got on. You can always email me. Let me just give out my email address. It's creativeventures555@hotmail.com. Or you can send a message on the podcast and let me know anything that was helpful in this, anything you'd like to know more about, and any quick wins that you got. Thanks for listening.